Welcome to Tales from a Bibliophile, a bookish podcast about all things reading and the communities that books create. We're so glad you're here. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the show. I'm your host, Carly Galorn-Stewart, and our guest today is Rainey Lynch. Rainey's back. Hi, Rainey.
Hi, thank you for having me back.
Yes, we're so excited. So Rainey works for a literacy nonprofit called Books for Keeps that's local to the Athens area, and that's what we're going to chat about today. But before we do that, we're going to talk about what we're reading lately. What you reading lately?
I have two books that I have been picking up and putting down. I'm a mood reader. We talked about that some in our last episode. So I might start a book and get halfway through it and then not be in the mood to read it anymore. One of the books that I've been picking up and putting down is because I checked it out from the library, and a few other people are also possibly doing the same thing that I'm doing with the book. And it's called A Brief History of Earth. And it's really fascinating because it is covering the 4 billion years of the history of the Earth, but in 8 chapters. So, like, each chapter is various eras being addressed. And it's really fascinating. It's not a very long book. It's only, like, 250 pages.
Oh, yeah, wow.
So the author is doing a lot in a short amount of space. And I'm really enjoying that. So I just have to wait my turn for it to come back.
Yeah. Who wrote that one?
Andrew Colley, Nolley.
Okay, I'm not familiar with that one. There's a few different, like, brief history of the Earth kind of vibes, but that one sounds manageable.
I really love Carlo Rovelli. He has written several books about kind of the universe, but also, like, physics. And one that I really liked was 7 Brief Lessons on Physics. His writing is so accessible. I am not a science person. Although I've always been fascinated by science and kind of the history of the movement of science. But I really like his, so I highly recommend all of those. He wrote one called Reality Is Not What It Seems, and that's the only one that I haven't read yet, and I really want to read that one too.
Those sound fascinating. I love accessible nonfiction.
Me too, yes.
I like learning something new, but not having to struggle with it.
Yes, Neil deGrasse Tyson's book on astrophysics that he wrote for kids is on the
I was going to say, a lot of times I go to the kids, like, nonfiction too, because it is much more accessible for me, especially with science stuff.
I really like those. And then I'm also doing, kind of having a game with myself over I love Jasmine Guillory.
Yeah.
She writes, I would call them rom-coms, but really they're just about incredible stories of incredible women.
Mm-hmm.
And where they are in their lives, and finding love where they are in their lives. And I am halfway through one, and I picked it up, and I was in such a good mood to read it, and I made it halfway through, and I put it back down, and I just recently picked it back up, and it's been, like, 6 months. But the great thing about it is, thankfully, like, I remember where I was and what I was.
That is good.
But I love her books so
much. Which one are you reading right now?
The one that I'm reading right now was While We Were Dating, and I didn't know that there's character overlap in all of her books, and so the first one that I read was actually the second book, The Proposal, which is still my favorite.
Is that the blue one with, like, the baseball?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Nick gets proposed to at a baseball game by her absolutely horrendous boyfriend. And in The Proposal, on the big screen, he spelled her name wrong.
Oh, no.
and it's just such a great start to a book. But I think that I liked that one the best. I've really enjoyed all of them. She just writes the most incredible characters. But I think that one is my favorite because it's the funniest.
Erica has mentioned her a lot, too, I think,
in
previous episodes.
Erica and I have had lots of conversations about...
She's
Jasmine Guillory.
She's great.
And how much we love the books.
I've never read her. I'll have to pick her up. I think I had her book. I think I had some at some point, and I just didn't get to it.
I really love The Proposal. And even though it is technically her second book, and there is a storyline overlap between the characters, I don't feel like I lost anything from reading that one first. And it was such a great one to get me hooked on her books because it's so funny.
Romance does that really well. Like, current contemporary romance does that really well. Like, one of my favorites is Talia Hibbert, and, like, she does that too. Like, you it's technically a series, but like it's not going to throw you off if you read them out of order.
They all have their own stories.
Yeah.
I like that she does the same thing and is following a different person.
Mm. So sound great. I am reading, it's a memoir called On the Ledge. It is by Amy Turner. And it's reminding me a lot of, it is a heavier book. It's got trauma in it. She wrote it more recently and she's older. So it's like a reflection on her life. But when she was a kid, she was four. Her dad very publicly attempted suicide. And so she was too young to know like what had happened, but like her family, like there was so much like trauma around her family and like the way mm-hmm. she grew up. And so then when she's in her 50s, she gets hit by a truck and it's a lot. It's written in a not overwhelming way though, mm-hmm. Which I really like. It's not like, it's got a lot of heavier topics, but it's not, and the chapters are short, so you can kind of,
you can take breaks.
Yes. And, yeah. But so the whole like premise of the memoir is that when she has this accident, she finally starts to process the trauma of her childhood. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like a third of it in maybe, but it's been really interesting. It reminds me a lot of, it was another memoir that I have talked about before. I'm pretty sure it's called, What These Bones Know. It's a memoir about complex PTSD, which mm-hmm. At least she hasn't yet used the word complex PTSD, but like this book story is like a perfect example of complex PTSD. So it's interesting to read this one after having read that one. But
I love it. That book was actually recently, With These Bones Know, was recently recommended to me.
It's very good. Yeah. It is heavier because it is talking about complex PTSD, but I did the audio of it, which was really good. And it is kind of similar in the sense that like you can take easy breaks with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't find it to be, I don't know, there were similarities in my experience, but it was, she specifically, the author is Asian, and she talks about it from the perspective of growing up in a, like, as a first generation American or second generation American in her family,
mm-hmm.
and, like, the expectation of the elders in that community, and so it's just removed enough from, like, my personal experience that it didn't feel,
mm-hmm.
like, so deeply overwhelming. Like I could read it without being,
it's easier not to internalize it.
Right. But I was really impressed with it, and it is a topic that isn't written about a lot. And so I'm excited, seems like the wrong word, but I'm glad that it's starting to become more.
Yeah. That came to me as a recommendation because I had just started The Body Keeps the Score, mm-hmm. and my friend was like, please don't read that, because the way that they tell is very, like, that, she was like, it is very traumatizing.
Yeah.
And
that one is rough.
Like, people who are working, that, it's a book designed for people who are working in the field.
Right. It's more like an educational.
Psychiatry and psychotherapy, and not for people who are experiencing those things.
That book is really weird because it's been recommended so much for, like, people
like
who
write trauma,
and that's
what she said.
Yeah,
she,
it's not.
She was like, I 100% would not recommend it for anyone who's looking to understand their own trauma or intergenerational trauma or anything like that. It's just going to traumatize you further.
Yeah, and so I think what Your Bones Know is a much more accessible version of that. If you're looking for something like that, it's part memoir and part like not academic, but she talks more about the like actual disorder and stuff like that, but it's primarily her talking about her journey trying to find like help for it, to find a therapist and find treatment, because it's such a nuanced, like more recent and nuanced diagnosis. So this one's reminding me a bit of that. I'm glad I read What Your Bones Know before I read this one. I think they kind of pair well together, but
I like that when you find a book that kind of helps inform another book.
Yeah, me too. Okay, do you want to tell us a little bit about Books for Keep and Kind, Books for Keeps, and what, just generally what your mission is?
Sure. So Books for Keeps is a local literacy nonprofit started right here in Athens. Our mission is really to connect the joy of reading with positive educational experiences that kids can take with them throughout their life, and reinforce and create positive experiences around learning in general. There are a lot of educators who are doing that work, and we want to supplement where needed and where possible, and then address gaps in what they're able to do. Our primary program was started, that's kind of how we got started in 2009, was our founder, Melanie Smith, learned of a girl who was sad for summer. So my initial reaction to that is, oh gosh, why is everything okay? And she was sad for summer because she didn't have books to read at home. And so Melanie, being the incredible human that she is, said, well, I can help. I can do something about that.
Yeah.
And so she did. And so she got books for that girl in her class. And then as she continued to kind of research and learn, she realized that there are so many kids who don't have the opportunity to read over the summer or when they're at home for so many different reasons.
Yeah.
And that it was a huge factor in whether or not kids were coming back to school in the fall. Still on track. There's a phenomenon called summer slide, which is the backsliding that happens over summer when kids don't have access to books to read, or when they're not reading or encouraged to read over the summer. And kids can fall 2 to 3 months behind in their summer learning.
I love that Books for Keeps addresses that particular gap, because especially in the rural areas, I mean, I think it's an issue everywhere, but like kids, so when they're in school, they have access to the school library and they like have transportation to school. Like if your parents can take you, you have a school bus, but like in the summer, public libraries exist and they're great, and we do a lot of summer reading stuff, but if you don't have a way to get to the library consistently, like it's not just like a one time because you have to bring the books back, if you don't have access to that, you are missing out. And so I love that Books for Keeps gives them the books.
The access to public libraries is a big conversation that we have, because I think that, so we're based in Athens, and I think that people think of Athens as, you know, oh, it's so small town, why can't they get to the library? And it's like, well, if you live off of North Avenue and your closest library location is on Baxter Street and you, I don't know, stay with a grandmother while your parents work, or you stay with a caregiver who doesn't have transportation, there's not even a public bus that comes to you, you know? And if there is a public bus and you stay with a caregiver who can't go with you, are you going to put your six-year-old on a bus and tell them to go to the library and hope they get there?
Yeah.
No, you're not. There are a lot of barriers that we don't talk about or like to think about that keep kids from reading over the summer. A ton of our kids are experiencing housing insecurity because of the bananas housing market that we have here in Athens right now. Families are constantly getting displaced. And so even if they had books, it's hard for them to keep them. Some of our incredible partner educators have started helping kids build mobile libraries for their Books for Keeps books, so that if they're experiencing housing insecurity, they can take their books with them in a way that makes sense, that their families will actually be able to accommodate. There's so many barriers. There are families who are having to decide, do I buy my kid books or do I buy them food? And regardless of the fact that no parent should ever have to make that decision, a lot of parents do.
Yeah. And books are not cheap. Especially if you've got a voracious reader, like even a kid's paperback is going to be around $10. And if you've got a kid that goes through a paperback in a week or less, it's just so expensive to try to keep them in books. So it's
and
great.
I mean, for younger kids, parents who are still trying to figure out how to balance their finances in the face of a new child, picture books are exorbitantly expensive.
I was gonna say they're even more expensive.
And that's not to knock folks who sell books. Those books are of a beautiful quality and they require a lot more materials to print. But it is a huge barrier for families. So that's kind of the primary program that we execute started for those reasons, to address those barriers. And so Melanie grew that program. It started with a class and a grade and a school and kind of grew and grew and grew. And we hired the first full-time employee in 2012, and that was Leslie Hill. And Leslie kind of took us from a very small, sustainable level and grew us into every elementary school in Athens Clark County.
That's
and
incredible.
Has really helped us kind of become who we are now. And our current director, Justin Bray, is carrying that torch forward and helping us grow in new ways. But we started addressing that initial problem with our Stop Summer Slide program, where we go into these partner elementary schools and every single student comes through with their class. We give them a tote bag and they come in and they pick any 12 books they want, whatever they're excited about. And all of our books are selected with the kids in mind based on kid feedback from the previous year. So we never knew that third graders really wanted cookbooks until we started asking the kids, you know, and
that's great.
It's different every year. One year, everything was about wrestling. So we needed a ton of wrestling books. And when Frozen came out, every kid wanted Frozen books. And so that need and those requests are constantly shifting. And we shift our purchases every year to try to get as close to those requests from kids as we can. And so those kids are going home with 12 books. And that's a book per week to read. We're a research-based program. We started with an idea, and then as we grew that idea, we found research to make sure we were executing that idea in the most efficient and effective way possible. And so the Allington study has, that was co-authored here at UGA, has kind of been one of our benchmarks. And a lot of great research has followed that we continue to read. We do team reads to make sure we're staying up on the science of reading and all of the research that comes out, but that has really helped keep us on track. And so that's how that first program got started. We're now executing three primary programs. The second is our Dolly Parton's Imagination Library program.
So excited about that.
Yeah, so we execute that for Athens Clark County. And then we have a partner organization who executes it here for Oconee County, which is really exciting.
It is.
And that is an international program, not a national program, an international program that provides books for kids ages 0 to 5. If they sign up, they get a book every month sent to their home. It helps with kindergarten readiness. It helps with book access. Again, those families who cannot afford things like picture books, they're so expensive, especially when you're living on a budget or you're living paycheck to paycheck, which it feels like more and more of us are these days.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that is addressing a huge need. It is currently serving 3,000 kids in Athens Clark County.
That's great.
And our third program is our Literacy Mentor Program, which we launched last year.
That's new, right?
Yes, we launched it last September in partnership with Creature Comforts Brewing Company. And it has been just more successful than we could have ever imagined. And what that looks like is we have volunteer mentors who go through a really rigorous training process who go into schools for an hour a week, and that can look like meeting multiple times a week or meeting all at once. Usually our mentors are there for half an hour at a time, meeting with a student, and they go through really fun literacy building exercises. They read books together, they do literacy bingo, they do acting out exercises. So it's things that the kids think that they're having fun,
right?
And really they're doing really critical learning exercises. And
that's great.
What we work to address is the kids who need the most intervention are going to be working with a specialist or going to be working with their educator, and then the kids who need the least are going to be working in groups usually, and then we try to get one-on-one support for those kids who are kind of right in the middle, who really need the extra time. And the beautiful side effect of that is that it also helps create bandwidth for the teachers, so that the teachers have a little extra time and energy that they can focus where they need to focus.
That's
and our
great.
Hope is that the teachers continue to see this as a great partnership, because we know they're doing the work every day and we just want to help them in whatever way we can.
That's great. Will you tell us about the book bus? I'm so excited about the book bus.
Yes, so we have, in addition to our three primary programs, we do several supplemental things. We have a middle school book club that I execute.
Oh,
that
fun.
I have so much fun doing because I feel like people forget about middle schoolers.
Oh, yeah, I bet that's so fun.
I love them. So we do that at COIL every year.
Okay.
We do a book in the fall, and then we do a book in the spring, and we try to pick whatever kids are excited about. And that's been really, really fun. That's what got me started reading the City Spies series.
Oh,
which
yeah.
is Ponte, yeah. and I really enjoy. And we also do a lot of community outreach. We do the West Broad Farmers Market as often as we can. We'll start that back up in the fall. We do a lot of neighborhood tabling with the neighborhood leaders through Family Connection Communities and schools. This year we were at Athens Pride.
Yeah,
and
that was so fun to see.
Meet a lot of families, and that was really exciting. Gave away, I think, about 1,200 books at that event. And then we were at AthFest, and we gave away another over 2,000 books. And I can't remember the exact number. Come more prepared. But part of what has been really ramping up our ability to do those community events is our bookmobile. So our bookmobile just launched officially last year in October at our community book fair, which I'll tell you more about in just a second.
Yes.
And since then, we have used our bookmobile to go to communities and meet kids where they are, and it is all donated to kids and adult books that we give away to kids and families.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, it is not just kids' books.
Yeah, because I was gonna say there's
so much data surrounding that if kids are seeing the adults in their lives
yes.
read, they're more likely to read. So we want to make sure those adults have books also. And the adults are just as excited as the kids
are. I was going to say, I was thrilled both personally and for the community to see you guys at Pride.
Yes.
And the bus is so fun because it's such a bright color. Like
yes.
it draws you in really quickly.
Yes. So a local designer designed the book wrap for the bookmobile wrap for us. And yeah, it's been really, really exciting. In the spring, we were able to take the bookmobile to some of our out-of-town schools also
oh, wow, yeah.
to use at our book distribution. So yeah. that was a really fun convergence of programming.
Yeah.
To get to have our bookmobile at a book distribution.
Yes. Very fun.
So it was really exciting. And we'll be seeing a lot more of that. That's kind of our goal for the next year, is to grow that. It requires a lot of capacity, it requires a lot of books, and it requires a lot of staff time.
Yeah.
And so right now we're learning how we can supplement all of those needed elements in order to make the bookmobile more available. And we'll also be at an event at the end of this month, next weekend, at Calvary Baptist Church for a neighborhood leader, neighborhood back to school fair.
Oh, fun.
Yeah. And then in the fall we do our community book fair, and that is our big event that we do every year.
It is so fun.
It is really fun. We open our warehouse, and everyone from the community is invited to come in and take 100 books per person per day, and we have about 60,000 books that we're trying to give away every year, and those are all donated books that we can't use for our program, but it's really exciting because for a lot of folks, again, the cost of books is a barrier to them reading. So if they can come in and build out their home library and build out their children's library, then we'll keep them reading.
Yeah, absolutely.
Get them excited about literacy.
And it's such a fun way to learn about Books for Keeps. I think I'm trying to remember if it wasn't the initial way I learned about it, it was pretty soon after. Someone invited me to go to the book fair, and I was like, what do you mean you're getting 100 books a day? Like, that's insane. I went, and it was so fun to see the warehouse and see sort of how, sort of the inside workings of y'all a little bit, and to get to talk to your staff about what you guys do and how it works. So yeah, the book fair is super fun. And if you are local, the book fair is coming up in October.
Sure.
So fun. How did you get involved with Books for Keeps?
Most of our current staff started as a volunteer.
Yeah, I was gonna say a lot of that's what I thought.
Yes. So I started as a volunteer with Books for Keeps in 2015.
Mm-hmm.
Rachel Watkins was the program manager at the time and said, you really need to come and volunteer with Books for Keeps. I think you're going to love it. And I was familiar with Books for Keeps because of the book sale, which is how we used to do it. We sold our books to help supplement our income.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, oh, I've heard of Books for Keeps. All right, cool. And so that spring, I came out to a book distribution.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really fun. It was at Fowler Drive Elementary. I love all of our elementary schools, mm-hmm. but it was really exciting to have an excuse to like come into one that I had never been to at the time.
Yeah.
So it was at Fowler Drive Elementary School, and I volunteered on a shift that was also staffed by the women's basketball team at UGA.
Oh, cool.
And I was like, okay, like I am a plebe in a sea of celebrities. and so everyone was taking photos when the kids were not in there. And then when the kids were in there, everyone was just down to business. Mm. Like it was all about the kids. And it was really wonderful to see that focus and just so many folks from the community coming in to just put attention mm-hmm. on kids and have it all be around books and reading yeah. and literacy. And I think for a lot of kids, all they really want is another adult in their life who's there to listen and be excited
yeah.
for them.
Yep.
And so to see a whole ton of adults
yeah.
be excited for them. And so I volunteered there, and then I volunteered again in the fall at mm-hmm. the book sale,
mm-hmm.
Which used to be in August. And it was really, really fun. And I was like, gosh, what a great organization. I'm so excited yeah. to get to learn more about Books for Keeps and what they're doing. And then I volunteered again in 2016 in the spring at a book distribution. And just, I grew up with a little bit of book insecurity.
Mm-hmm.
We were very poor when I was growing up, but my grandmother would use part of her Social Security checks
mm.
to buy me like Boxcar Children
yeah.
or dollar novels from yeah. Walmart that were in the little dollar bin. They were all classics.
Yeah. yeah.
And so I always had books, and I never really thought about it, but books have always been so important to me mm-hmm. my entire life. I have an English degree. I'm a lifelong reader, mm-hmm. and I grew up around readers. And so for me, just seeing repeatedly the excitement of kids around reading
mm-hmm.
was so powerful. I know a lot of people volunteer with us because they just say, you know, oh, I never knew that this was like a problem.
Right.
I can't imagine. And that was definitely a shock to me. But also, I think for me, it was just seeing so many people help kids get excited around reading. And the thing is, all of those kids are excited.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we have people who are like, well, kids don't actually care about books. They don't want to come in and get those books. They don't care. They're not going to read them. Trust me.
They will.
If you saw how excited kids yeah. are to come in and pick their own books yeah. and put them in their bag and have a thing that's theirs.
Well, I was going to say the ownership aspect of it.
The ownership,
I'm sure.
And having it be a new book. Those are things that are really critical to the success of the program. Because a lot of these kids are growing up the way that I grew up, which is you don't have anything new.
Right.
There's nothing new in your life. Like
right.
all of my clothes were hand-me-downs. All my yeah. shoes have holes in them.
Right.
So getting to see that level of excitement and then just kind of keep it going is so incredible. And so the next year in January, Books for Keeps was opening a position, and it was mm-hmm. their third ever position, and it was going to be part-time. And they were trying to address the need for a part-time person to do media and communications and a part-time mm-hmm. person to do bookkeeping.
Okay.
And they asked me if I was interested in either of those positions, and I said I very much am, but mm-hmm. also have experience in both of those fields. So would you have any interest in making that one position?
Just one position, yeah.
And so I talked to Leslie beforehand because I really wanted to make sure that I was qualified. I didn't want to waste the organization's time.
Yeah.
And so we talked through what the various tasks would be and what they were looking for. And when I felt confident that I was qualified, then I officially applied and interviewed. And I got the position. And my job has evolved greatly since then mm-hmm. as we have changed as an organization. So now I'm the Director of Finance and Administration.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
that's so
really
fun.
Different.
Yeah.
Doing a lot of the same tasks, mm-hmm. but you know, we're a much bigger organization, so now we have 6 full-time staff members.
Wow, that's great. And I love, I've always loved like being able to grow with a project that I'm working
yes.
on. So it's cool to see that you were able to do that as well. That like you
mm-hmm.
still you started. You're doing something different now, but it's still you know you got to process that alongside of the organization itself.
Mm-hmm. What's really cool is as an organization we try to always like play to a staff member's strengths. So if you come in for one position but we continue to grow in one direction and we see, oh my gosh, this person is actually great at this,
right,
we can help build that out for our staff because
that's great.
We want everyone you know, to have that, it's an 80-20 feeling. 80% mm-hmm. of the time we want you to do things that you're really excited about,
right.
that you are passionate about and that display your strengths. And everybody understands that 20% of your job is going to be things that just have to be done.
Yeah, you just have to do. Right. That's great, though, because that's not true of a lot of workplaces. And so to see that you guys do play to strengths so much, and I'm sure it makes it such a much more enjoyable job. And then when people are having fun or enjoy their job, like, they're less stressed out and they're able to put their best foot forward. And I think that's mm-hmm. Something that a lot of people don't think about yeah. when they're
setting an environment. And part of our kind of ethos as an organization too is, how are we showing our staff members that we respect them as people first? Like, yes, the work that we're doing is really important. We are all there because we are so passionate and we care so much. We've got folks with MSWs. We've got folks with MPAs. We've got folks who've been through extensive leadership training to make sure that they're their best possible selves mm-hmm. for the kids and families and communities that we serve. But also, you're a person.
Right.
And you deserve vacations, and you deserve right. mental health services, and you deserve good health care. And so for us, it's always, what are we doing to serve the mission and serve our staff? Because for us, those are the same thing. If yeah. our staff are well taken care of and respected, they're going to have more love and energy to put into the work that we're doing.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And you need it
yeah.
because nonprofit work is exhausting.
It's hard.
It's hard. It really, it drains your heart.
Yeah.
And so you need everything that you can get to be your best possible self.
100%. I feel that one.
Yeah.
Okay, so one last question to sort of wrap it up. What has been some of your favorite things about working for Books for Keeps or working with it? You've touched on a few things, but if there's anything else.
Yes. I really love our community book fair. It's probably my favorite event that we do, just because it's so exciting to see people come into our space mm-hmm. that we're in all the time and really kind of take for granted, and just get really excited to see adults react like 10-year-olds
yeah.
to all the books that they get to pick from. Mm-hmm. And then when they have their books, a lot of them kind of just were winging it when they got there.
Yeah.
And for them to hear us say, like, no, your books are free. You don't have to pay for them. And for people to just be so excited.
Yeah, it is so exciting.
Yeah.
Especially as, like we've talked about, even like the kids, like if you're a voracious reader, mm-hmm. if you don't have access to a library,
yeah,
it can get really expensive. And so it's always been, like, I try to support like the local bookstore as much as possible, but then
yeah.
I primarily will get my, I've always primarily gotten the books that I buy from the Friends of the Library book sale. And so mm-hmm. it's a very similar feeling
yes.
when we go to the book fair that you guys do, but even more exciting because you don't have to pay anything.
Yeah.
It's very much got the Scholastic Book Fair feeling that like my generation grew up with.
Yeah.
And are,
and that's
always
how our Stop Summer Slide yeah. program is.
Yeah. I was going to say, was drawing that connection earlier too. It's like a Scholastic Book Fair for the kids, but they don't, it's even better because they don't have to pay anything. Because
yeah.
I don't know anybody, like, I can't think of anybody when I was a kid that whose parents was like, here's enough money for 12 books. It was like, you usually got, like,
I might get one book.
Right, maybe one book.
If someone was able, and let me tell right. you, I blew a lot of that on Color Erasers.
Right, yes. I was going to say, the Scholastic Book Fair has always had some sort of distracting
stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was the stuff. And that was hard because yeah. you feel, let a little kid go off the rails.
Yeah.
They're probably going to get the stuff.
Yeah.
And it's really fun seeing that from adults, because there's this great meme that's been floating around the internet for years that just says, I've spent my entire adult life chasing the high of a
Scholastic Book Fair. Yep.
And so this event really, for a lot of them, is that. And it's, you know, I would say my favorite part of my job is the ways in which our community comes together.
Mm-hmm.
And the book fair, we see some of that. And it's really exciting to see, because people will come from partner organizations.
Right.
They'll come from doctor's offices. They'll come from local jails. They'll come and just get books for people of all walks of life,
right.
experiencing all different kinds of things. And it's such a great reminder that we're all valued and we're all human, and mm-hmm. everyone deserves that opportunity for education,
mm-hmm.
distraction,
mm-hmm.
hope
yeah.
that books bring.
Absolutely.
And then all of the other ways that we work together as a community are really exciting for me. The director and I are both on the Athens Clark County Library Board, mm-hmm. huge library advocates. So the ways in which we're able to work and collaborate with yeah. our local libraries is always really exciting. Casa de Amistad has allowed us to help them get books to communities, and that's been really exciting as well. We work a lot with family connection communities and schools mm-hmm. for their neighborhood outreach. There's just so many opportunities to work together. We're a drop location for the Athens Area Diaper Bank. That the community is there.
Yeah.
If you're willing to make the connection yeah. and do the work, the community is there. And I think that's what really speaks to me about the work that we're doing. Like, obviously, I'm a huge advocate of literacy for all. Every single kid should mm-hmm. be able to have access to the education that they need mm-hmm. in order to have the life that they desire.
Yeah.
It is great. It's a perk when yeah. kids turn into readers, but it's right. not about having every kid love reading.
Right.
It's about having every kid be able to have access to yeah. what they need.
Yeah, absolutely.
And literacy is the most base.
Yeah, it's baseline. Yeah.
of what they need.
Yeah.
You know, you can't apply for jobs. Mm-hmm. You can't order food at a restaurant. There's yeah. so many things that you just can't do
yeah.
if you don't have literacy access. And so that's what we're fighting for. And it opens so many additional doors for people who want it.
Yeah, absolutely. That's great. Well, thank you so much for talking to us about Books for Keeps. It's always, I've always really loved everything you guys do. So it's exciting to get to share that a little bit with everyone. Yeah.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely.
The book fair opens, I think, October 5th.
I was going to say,
Thursday.
I have it saved somewhere.
The first Thursday in October.
Mm-hmm. It's so fun.
That's where we'll be.
Absolutely.
Encourage you to come out.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much. Thanks so much for listening this week. Be sure to rate and review and tell a friend about the show. You can find us on Instagram at Tales from a Bibliophile. The Instagram has links for lots of our other cool things like Libro.fm and bookshop.org. Email us at talesfromabibliophile@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. See you next week.